It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
You just gotta figure that when they finally blow the lid and bring out all this intel on what the deep state tried to do to Trump in 2016, that they'd have a whole new scandal and bait and switch the Epstein files. Unfortunately, the Trump administration has not done a great job of defending themselves with the Epstein files. The story changes when you start hearing things like, the American people don't want to hear about this. Let's talk about tariffs. Sounds an awful lot like Chuck Schumer saying the American people don't want to hear about Biden's incompetence. Let's talk about health care. I love Trump. I'm a big supporter of Trump. But when he starts to sound like a politician, then we have to remember why he got elected, because he wasn't sounding like a politician. Here to discuss all of these things with us, columnist Mike Friedenberg.
Well, glad to be back again. And once again, we are facing... I sat here yesterday and today trying to figure out something to talk about.
I'm going on the show. What on earth will we talk about? If only there was something going on in the news.
But before we plunge into the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, we were talking about it briefly before we came on. Hulk Hogan passed away, Ozzy Osbourne, and Chuck Mangione.
Right. And also the guy who played Theo, Bill Cosby's son, on The Cosby Show.
Ah.
So you get back to that whole thing of the actors dying in threes, although I guess if we're counting a musician, that is a celebrity also.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan obviously was a performer.
A celebrity.
An entertainer, yeah, yes. Certainly. And Ozzy Osbourne certainly was a musician.
Yeah.
So I grew up with both Hulk Hogan and Ozzy Osbourne. In 1978, I saw Black Sabbath live, and they were fantastic. The opening band for Black Sabbath that time, though, which I had not heard of at that time, was Van Halen, which is pretty amazing, because Van Halen is a super group, and this is before they
became big.
And
in those days, he was just an opening act.
And at the time, I remember thinking I'd never heard their songs. I thought, wow, these guys are pretty good.
Well, now, I don't follow wrestling much. My first experience with Hulk Hogan was in the movie Gremlins 2, which was a horrible movie because it was a sequel. I loved Gremlins 1. The best review I ever heard of the first Gremlins is it's a cross between It's a Wonderful Life and Alien.
Okay.
And I thought that described it perfectly. Loved that movie. The sequel just sucked. But right in the middle of the movie, it looked like the film stopped and like the projector, this is before the age of digital, it looked like the projector just froze. And everybody in the theater thought it was really a problem with the theater and the film. And then all of a sudden you start seeing the shadows of laughing gremlins on the movie screen. Then suddenly Hulk Hogan stands up and you see him on the screen as if he's sitting in the theater. He goes, hey, how about showing some respect? And then the gremlins went and turned the film back over. That was my first experience with Hulk Hogan.
Anyway, I was never a person that followed the World Wrestling Federation and all that kind of stuff. But of course,
did he do real wrestling, or was it the staged wrestling?
No, he did. But if you read a little bit about it, those guys sustained really high injury rates. And one of the things that
it was staged, but obviously they still had to be in top shape.
And they were getting thrown around. Yeah, and they were getting stuff smashed. Yes. And they were doing stunts that were dangerous. No, he had a bunch of neck surgeries. Some of the surgery there is probably had an impact on eventually his cardiac arrest that he went through because of what he did. But I saw an interview with him. His first interview with Johnny Carson. And Johnny Carson says, well, there's a guy here, he's in Rocky III, because he was in a movie with Sylvester Stallone, Rocky III. And he played a World Wrestling Federation wrestler in it, it's amazingly enough. And he was
Mr. T in Rocky III. I don't remember Hulk Hogan.
That was Rocky II.
No, Mr. T was Rocky III.
It was Rocky III. You're right. It was Rocky
III. But was Hulk Hogan also in Rocky III?
Yes, he was.
Is that what you're saying?
Huh. And he was a big guy. He comes out there, and Johnny Carson's like, well, whatever you want to sit, Mr. Hulk. You want to call Mr. Hulk? Mr. Hogan? He was 6'5", 300 something odd pounds, and he was a big dude, definitely a big dude. I mean, Ed McMahon is a big guy, But he was a lot taller than Ed McMahon. And Ed McMahon. So it was interesting. But something I just thought I'd mention. So yeah, it's one of those guys you see around. He obviously was recently at the Republican convention and still had a lot of fans.
The routine with the pulling his shirt off.
Yeah, things like that. You know, and he had the
holsters. And I like how he admitted. He said, I voted for Trump each time, but I didn't want to admit it. I was afraid to admit it. And now I'm, in a sense, coming out of the closet for Trump.
Yeah.
It took some character to do that.
No, he didn't want, and he always had a very positive message for the kids and things like that. So, I mean, I never.
It's sad. It's sad.
So, yeah, I hate to see, you know, he's only 71, you know.
Yeah, says the 71 talk show host named Bob Siegel.
Yeah, only 71. But anyway, it's a story I read, and I think my wife mentioned to me before. Was my wife? Yeah. Anyway, in 2023, Hogan and his wife, Sky Daly Hogan, were baptized at Indian Rocks Baptist Church in Florida. Reflecting on this experience, Hogan wrote, total surrender and dedication to Jesus is the greatest day of my life. No worries, no hate, no judgment, only love.
That's wonderful.
That's good there. So, and on Ozzy Osbourne, Long was a person who professed a faith in Christ.
Oh, well, as Johnny Carson would say, I did not know that.
He was not a regular church attender, but his son said that, you know, in the latter years of life, he had a Bible and he regularly read from it. So I thought that was, you know, interesting to know.
Yeah.
So that was positive. So I just thought I'd mention that. I have a tendency to go at least, you know, maybe sometimes I watch a movie. Like, you know, when James Garner died, I watched some of his movies. You know, people like that.
Well, speaking of celebrities, Mike, I've just got to say this as far as Colbert goes. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm deeply saddened.
We're living under fascism because Colbert, who's losing millions of dollars for the network, got canceled.
Well, he's losing $40 million a year.
But what's going to... They didn't really cancel him. He's going to be on another 10 months where he can get up there and just blast away at CBS. I don't know what they're thinking. I think they're hoping that maybe the controversy will bring up the ratings and then they'll just keep him.
I don't know how true this is, but Megyn Kelly says that he has 200 people working on a show.
I heard that, where Gutfeld has like two writers.
I mean, regardless. So anyway, I just thought I'd just, you know, mention a few things, a little bit less political.
Sure.
And I mean, Chuck Mangione, I believe he was, a trumpet player, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And I don't remember the name of his famous piece over the air, but if we heard it, we'd recognize it.
Yeah, no, he has a lot of stuff there. So.
Sorry to interrupt, but it's actually a flugelhorn is what they called it, which is a mix of a trumpet and a...
Flute?
No, a bugle, I think it was.
Oh, but, a trumpet and a...
Yeah. But, and the song that you guys were thinking of is called I Feel So Close, I want to say it's called.
Feel So Good.
Oh, Feel So Good. Yeah, sorry about that.
So, yeah. So, back to Epstein. This has now been percolating for a while. I've gone through various stages of anger, grief, acceptance, all that kind of stuff over the whole thing.
Well, at first I was thinking, we've both talked about this, the Biden administration had these files for years. With all they were trying to do to keep Trump from getting elected again, if they had something on Trump in those files, it would have been released. But on the other hand, the way Trump was acting and the fact that Bondi said we're going to release it tomorrow and then she didn't, it sounded like they're covering up something. Trump makes so many deals with so many people in so many countries. This could be something having to do with the royalty in Great Britain or some spy or espionage. So I started thinking, okay, he's covering up for somebody else. But then it came out that back in May, she told him that his name is in the file.
Well, that's a Wall Street Journal report, and they both deny.
But that leads to the other theory, is that even though Trump is trying to get rid of the deep state, there's still a lot of people for the deep state that are working in these institutions. That was proven during his first 4 years in office, and they could have just poisoned it. Like, as you put it, a poison pill. And because Trump's narrative switched from, let's move on, no one wants to hear about this, to, okay, I told you to release the files, but only the credible ones. So something happened. Something happened between those two different messages. So I'm starting to think maybe they have corrupted it, and the Trump people are saying, let's go through this with a fine comb before we just release it.
I think that's a fairly likely scenario.
Well, with all the other things they've done to him,
of course.
And fake news they've done,
which is
what's coming out in Tulsi Gabbard's report. It's hard not to consider that.
I'm sorry to say, but I mean, I'm sure it could be Republicans there, but I'm also quite confident there was a lot of people that probably more were connected into, let's say, the Obama, Biden sphere of people in that files than maybe people from...
Well, Clinton's probably in there for 800 different incidents.
Right, who knows? So we don't know.
All kinds of women.
That was mishandled at the beginning. It's bungled. They're doing a little better now.
They sure could have done better messaging.
They're doing a little better now. However, from the time when Bondi released that memo in the middle of the night on Sunday, which was a bad way to do it, to now, it's been, 3 weeks or something? 3 or 4 weeks? It's been a while already. And in that time, Trump is going ahead and he's done 15 or 20 things that no other president would have the guts to or ever done. So I basically,
and we've got to remember that he kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago a number of years ago, too. So we got to keep all these things.
Well, no, I have no concern at all that he was involved with that. However, I do think
either they're doctoring it up to frame him for it, or he's protecting somebody
else. Or they doctored up to frame other people.
Or maybe even a little bit of both. Or they doctored up other people.
Right. We don't know. However, one thing we do know for sure is we have never had a president like this doing what he's doing.
He's the most consequential president in our history.
We've never had a president who's gone through so much to get to where he's got to.
No.
You never had a president who, I mean, they tried to destroy with the level of intensity, nobody's even close.
Yeah. Lincoln had all kinds of enemies, but he doesn't even show up on the same Richter scale.
No. Trump. So I'm going to give President Trump the benefit of the doubt on this, and I'm not purposely not going to be focusing on this going forward. I've got other things to do, and I'm going to just have to trust that there is some reasons why they're doing it. Are they the best reasons? I don't know.
But they need to release something. They need to do something. They need to clarify something. Would you at least agree with
that? I'd like to see them do that. I would. I'd like to see them do it as long as it doesn't damage his chances of getting things done or damage the midterms.
The coincidence of this being a real smoke and mirrors for all the stuff that Tulsi Gabbard just broke, it's hard to ignore that.
But I don't know if they knew that she was going to do that, because she released the stuff well after the Epstein file stuff started happening. Now, I do believe it's quite possible that
there may be people that saw the handwriting on the wall and knew that was coming.
It's also quite possible that she was planning on releasing this stuff.
Well, she's been working behind the scenes telling people, I want this released. They're delaying, they're procrastinating. So they knew what was coming down the pike.
Right. But my point is, let's just flip this around a little bit. You have this sort of brouhaha about the Epstein files and Trump's not looking so good. And along comes Tulsi Gabbard, says, well, I was planning on releasing this anyway. I'm going to move it by a couple weeks and release it now to take the focus off Epstein.
Oh, so maybe it was in reverse.
I think that's actually very likely.
And if they were planning to release it anyway, I guess she could say, I'll never find a better time to do it. Okay, hold with me, Mike. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to columnist Mike Friedenberg.
So we could obviously talk a lot about the Tulsi Gabbard release stuff here, but I just did want to work something in here. A new study just came out from Stanford University, and they did a worldwide study of how many lives the vaccine saved. Now, they're not factoring in any negative effects from the vaccine, basically just the positive effects of the vaccine. And when they did the study, they came out with a number, 2.5 million. Worldwide, 14 billion injections, 2.5 million lives saved. Previous estimates had put it at 14 to 15 million. So this was a big downgrade there. And they came out with some interesting stuff, but stuff that we already knew all along. But like 90% of the lives saved were people age 60 and over. And 0.02% or 0.01% of the lives out of the total 100% life saved were children and young adults. In other words,
but can't we say that the children and young adults weren't going to die from AIDS anyway? I mean, there's some exceptions.
From
but
COVID.
In general, from COVID, I mean to say, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's my point, is that the vaccine had a teeny, teeny effect on saving lives for the younger people. Almost nothing. And almost all the lives saved were people.
They 90, were going to be saved anyway.
They weren't going to die from the COVID or even have serious complications. By the way, another good thing about Donald Trump, who is the director for the National Institute of Health?
Yeah, Kennedy. Kennedy's been one of the few brave people that spoke against the vaccine.
Yes.
That's what held up his nomination.
However, he's
so
the
long.
Secretary of Health, right? And Jay Bhattacharya, a Stanford professor, is the director of the National Institute of Health. He was one of the people that got attacked for suggesting that the treatment policies, rather than doing these mass shutdowns and forcing everybody to take vaccines, that you should focus the treatment on the people that are actually at risk.
And allow some herd immunity, which means we don't wear the stupid, idiotic masks.
Yes, I know you don't like
those
masks.
I'm telling you, every time I think about those masks, and I still see people wearing them. It's insane.
So the bottom line is the amount of good that the vaccine did was overestimated. And this study comes out there. And it was, by the way, it's this guy named Ioannidis, who, by the way, was also one of the people kind of going pointing, hey, statistically speaking, this virus is not nearly as lethal as you said it was. Of course, he was attacked for saying that.
The virus had a 99% recovery rate. We shut down our whole republic. And the people from the Biden campaign during the 2020 election were doing everything they could to downplay the vaccine because it was coming under Trump. Kamala Harris said, there's no way I'm ever taking that vaccine. Then all of a sudden, Biden gets elected. Overnight, Biden's responsible single-handedly for the vaccine. And he wants to pass laws that everybody has to take it. Yeah. So this thing was so politicized. No. That's why I didn't even take it. At first, I was thinking, I don't mind. I don't have a problem with vaccines. I'd rather do that from wear the stupid mask. But it became so politicized, I decided to stand in solidarity with those who didn't want to take it. Now, I'm of the risk age, but I'm still glad I didn't take the thing because, I know an awful lot of people who took the vaccine and still got COVID anyway. You could maybe argue that the case was not as bad because of the vaccine, but you sure couldn't argue that those who were taking the vaccine weren't getting it.
Bob, the vaccine was neither safe nor effective because there's another study that came out says, by the way, that what we've seen is a phenomenon in the most highly vaccinated countries. You've seen what's called excess mortality rates skyrocket. And they have now done studies showing those excess high mortality rates are from the vaccine itself, not from COVID, from the vaccine.
Wow.
So 17 million people. Okay, it saved 2.5 million, but 17 million deaths affiliated, causal linked to that in the COVID-19 vaccine, 17 million. So, yeah, I just thought that was worthwhile to do an update on that because the study just came out. I just saw it the other day. I thought,
Well, it's good to hear some real information after all the misinformation we heard for so many years.
Or disinformation, even.
Disinformation.
It was both. You had well-meaning healthcare officials that believe they are doing the right thing. So, let's talk a little bit about the impact of Obama's Russia, Russia, Russia operation. And
now, before we go on, for those of you who think Obama's going to jail over this, it's simply not going to happen. For one thing, he has a presidential immunity established by the Supreme Court, thanks to Trump, by the way, although we'll never hear Obama thank Trump. For another thing, even if he didn't have that immunity, he's Obama. He was our first black president. They can play the race card. I don't expect him to see any jail time. Now, it's possible that Comey and Brennan and Clapper might go to jail, and I'd be very satisfied with that.
I think you're probably right. St. Obama probably won't be going to jail.
For several reasons.
For several reasons there. The immunity stuff on the presidential stuff was not as broad as some people think.
Well, no. If they could actually prove that he did treason or something like that. But the problem is, I think they were doing kind of like what went on during the Iran-Contra thing, the plausible deniability. I think Obama can just say, look, I just could not accept the fact that Trump legitimately beat Hillary. So when I saw this intelligence that said the Russians didn't interfere, I told my guys, I think they did. Go out and find it. And then all he has to do is say, I didn't think they were going to go out and create it. All I had to do was tell them to go out and find it. And I think that's how he could get and we weren't there. And nobody could prove what they were saying in the conversation.
Let's mention what he told them to find. They just had a five-person team that came back with it in an incredibly short time. But the next day after the meeting, the results they were told to find, you will find these results, were leaked to New York Times the next day, even before they had a chance to do the investigation.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Obama's guilty. I'm just saying it's going to be difficult to prove.
And just to make it real clear, the report that they came back with said that Russia did not hack the machines, but there was never any credible intelligence that Putin was actually trying to help Trump. None. See, what happened is just in the last few days, they've released a huge report done by the House. 49 page, I have it. I haven't gone through it in glory detail, but part
of it. Is this a report on Hillary?
No, the Obama-Russia operation. They cover it in detail. They show that, for example, they had senior analysts, CIA analysts, telling Brennan, there's no credibility to this information. And Brennan says, oh, but it rings so true. Include it anyway.
Yeah, you just got to love that. Well, I heard that one thing Putin did have on Hillary, that no, he wasn't trying to interfere, but he was still hoping Hillary would win because he found out all kinds of things about her health.
Yes.
Meaning mental and emotional health. And if she won, he could blackmail her. In other words, yeah, he could do to her what they were claiming he was doing, yes, to Trump with the Steele dossier.
All that was hidden.
Yeah, so. But that didn't mean he had to try to help her or Trump win. He was just thinking, boy, we've got this on her. And besides, it looked to everybody like she was going to win. Putin probably thought she was going to win. He probably didn't think he had to do anything.
So by the way, this report done by the House is excellent. Once they got it done, they removed all the files from all the congressmen's offices. They did cleans on it, and they classified it so it could not be released to the public. That was in 2020. And it finally was released 5 years later.
Now, I heard a rumor that some of those files, well, maybe they didn't go with Trump, but they were afraid they went with Trump, and that the reason Mar-a-Lago was invaded is they were looking for those files.
That's one of the theories I've heard. We don't know. But that Mar-a-Lago raid was
that
not...
That was outrageous. That no was outrageous. What their
there was no
was.
Justification yeah, for that.
Absolutely
none.
Not.
If the bare minimum was meant to embarrass the president and also hurt him, make
well,
him look...
they went through his wife's
re-election.
Underwear in the name of national security.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was ridiculous. But both you and I, and probably most of the people in our listening audience here, know that this was a scam. The whole thing was a scam, and trying to link Trump. I mean, you just have to look at the guy's history. It'd be like saying that Ronald Reagan was secretly a pro-communist operative, to say that Trump was working with Russia and trying to undercut America.
And look at the way he's handling Putin right now with the pressure he's putting on him and the sanctions. And
well, think about when Putin's looking at Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Here's Donald Trump saying, we're going to restore energy dominance. Oh, Obama's not really helping Ukraine. Oh, all Obama's doing is giving Ukraine blankets. I mean, what is the Kremlin?
Yeah. And Putin's listening to that going, yeah, boy, we got to make sure this
make,
Trump guy gets into office.
We got to make sure
office.
The guy that's going to rebuild, that's going to lower the cost of the oil for our products gets into office. And the guy who's going to arm Ukraine, which he did arm Ukraine, is going
to
get a job.
We would have
really
to have a lot of morons in our country to believe that. Oh, yeah, that's why they all did believe it.
Yeah, that's right. So it did happen. We know it was a scam. However, unfortunately, it was very effective.
Because the media was carrying water for
it. Well, but it was affected with everybody. It was affected with Republicans and Democrats. In July of 2017, shortly after Trump gets into office.
The Republicans did not have Trump's back during his first administration.
No. They passed a set of sanctions and also a determination that they 100% concurred that Russia had interfered massively with the election. It was a 413-0 vote or something. I mean, it was almost, there was, I mean, one, two, I mean, all the Republicans joined in. And then they said, they told Trump, oh, by the way, you have no ability to negotiate with Putin. All the sanctions that are placed have to stay in place. So I want you to think about this, Bob. One of the things that also happened is during this period of time, Putin was not a popular guy when Trump came into office, even before he got in office. He was running like a 19% favorability of the American public. By the time they got done with the Russia electing Trump, his approval, his favorability with the United States citizens dropped to 5%. 5%. So basically, any ability that Trump had to negotiate with Putin to try to do things, for example, like heading off the Ukraine disaster.
Yeah, some peaceful things that might have stopped the Ukraine war.
Exactly. And if he ever started to do it, what was it? He was Putin's puppet, right? He actually, people said he was a Russian asset. So he was utterly crippled. When we get back, we can talk about some other things that
happened.
I'm
surprised
there.
They didn't find a photo of him eating Russian dressing on his salad and use that for proof. We'll be right back.
Thank you. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, what's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. Say hello again to columnist Mike Friedenberg.
So even with all these revelations out there, there's still people stumbling around. Well, we know Russia interfered with the elections. We just know that. And by the way, the 17 intelligence agencies that stood behind this report, that was a lie as well.
I heard the most they had that maybe Russia was trying to sow discord and confusion, but without necessarily championing a specific candidate.
Back at the time it was happening, I looked at a report. They analyzed and said it actually seemed to be more helpful to Hillary, frankly. But here's a number that's going to be interesting. On Facebook, Russia spent, hold your breath, Facebook ads during the election, designed to sow discord, $150,000 on Facebook.
For a guy like Putin, that's not all that much money.
You know how much Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump spent on social media?
I'm guessing a lot more than that, Mike.
$81
million. Oh, my God. Boy, that was money well spent.
Well, I guess my point is, really, that's not even noise. $150,000 is not even noise when you're talking about $81 million versus $150,000. Sure, you could say Russia tried to interfere, but that's being disingenuous. China did far more during that period of time anyway, but that was not the narrative.
Yeah, it was interesting how little they go after China. Well, we're way more beholden to China than Russia.
So
part of it.
They demonized Putin, and that demonization is still operating today, making it very, even today, it's very difficult for Trump to be involved, because right now, any deal he cuts with the demon, Putin,
they're going to go back to the Russian collusion. By the way, has anybody ever admitted, I know the media doesn't like to talk about the collusion story, did they ever come out and admit that they were wrong, even for one quick sentence?
No, actually, I did see one of those, one of the guys with the 51 experts on the Biden laptop.
The Hunter's laptop?
Hunter Biden's laptop. And the guy was saying, no, well, I just said that it looks very much like a Russian operation here.
Well, we didn't mean definitely. We just meant it kind of looked like
it. And all 51 have signed up, looks like a Russian disinformation operation. Yeah. So I don't think anybody's admitted it. And then, of course,
the people that lied got Pulitzer Prizes for it.
The people that lied, what did they do after they left the office? They went on to be host on CNN or be special guest.
Yeah,
and they continued lying.
The media.
So that brings up another issue there, too, is initially people had mentioned, gosh, it's past the statute of limitations for some of this stuff.
Well, not if they kept lying about it. Well, lying before Congress, though. They could go lie on The View all they want, but if they're lying before Congress, then they're perjuring
However,
themselves.
Also, if they're just actively engaged in a cover-up, that makes it into a conspiracy.
You could call
no statute
subversion.
Of liberty.
Yeah.
No statute of limitations subversion. On conspiracy. None.
Yeah, that's true.
That may not end up being the big deal that they were hoping. I don't think they're going to get out of it because
Obama would be wise to just keep appearing on his wife's podcast and let her emasculate him rather than commenting on this and incriminating himself.
So it was an interesting little statistic here. All right. So up through 2019, people were asked about the investigation. 8 in 10 Democrats said they thought the Trump campaign colluded with Russia, and 7 in 10 Republicans said that he did not. But that meant 3 out of 10 Republicans weren't sure at the least that whether he did or not. That's a huge number. So that worked out to be 53% believed in this statement. He worked with Russia to influence the 2016 election. By the way, when the 2020 election is coming up, I will say this. That election was close enough, and I personally believe that their resources to cheat were fully extended that time.
I was going to mention this. Let's add all this up. We know there was a cover-up over Biden's mental acuity. We know there was a cover-up and a sabotage that went on under the Obama administration. We know they tried to get his name off the ballot in 2024. We know they tried to jail him. What is it about these people that makes us think they would not have tried to cheat in the 2020 election? I think that's the next shoe that's going to drop, Mike.
Well, I hope that they really
I think they're going to find something official on
I really
this.
Hope they pursue the election integrity stuff even more aggressively than they are now with this administration.
They
it's
need
important.
To, because that can never happen again.
Yeah, but I guess my point here is that it was so close in some of those swing states. If this Russian collusion narrative was not so persistent and so pervasive, I think Trump still would have won, despite all the cheating.
Yeah, maybe. That could
it's,
be.
It, because it was so close. And what I'm saying is, I think they did everything they could. It wasn't like they're sitting there saying, oh, we've got lots of cheating in reserve. In order to overcome how well Trump did, they had to pull out all the stops.
Well, because they were trying to cheat to put Hillary in office the first time. That's why they were so shocked when she didn't win. But they didn't plan on Trump having a tidal wave and a landslide, and that offset the cheating they were doing with Hillary. So they said, we got to cheat on steroids in 2020.
And even then, they came close to not cheating enough.
It was still close. It was still close.
So if that, my point
but
is,
but 6 states stopping to count all around midnight with Trump ahead and then Biden's ahead the next morning. Come on. So you don't even need half a brain to figure that one out.
It doesn't take much of a brain. And I'm going to say this. I think Obama's a smart guy. He's a smart guy.
Biden's a dumb guy, but Obama, he's very smart.
And I think he understood that this was setting up Trump for impeachments. This was basically a coup attempt.
Absolutely.
A soft coup, but a coup attempt. So I do really think that this needs to be pursued there. And then you think about it. When he came in there, you know, he had people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell.
Ryan was a disaster.
And,
McConnell
and,
wasn't
and this
much better.
Basically, he comes in. He squeaks in, really. It was close. It was a close election. He squeaks in. He doesn't have the popular vote, so to speak. And then you have this Russia narrative hanging over his head. That gave all the established Republicans, all the ones that hated the fact that he'd won the nomination, you know, that gave him the ability to basically just stymie anything he wanted to do legislatively. Now, he still got a couple things done. He did get the tax breaks through, and he also got some good legislation through on veterans' health care and health benefits, really reforming that system. Excellent on that. But there's so much more things he could have done. So it gave Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell carte blanche to just stymie him and shut down his legislative things. For example, I believe that without this whole Russian collusion narrative, he would have gotten the health care package through to reverse Obamacare. It just came down to McCain.
Yeah, McCain sold him down the river.
But somebody else
would have. And McCain had just campaigned. Hey, yes. That rhymes. McCain had campaigned on overturning Obamacare. And then he gives that famous thumbs down. What a disaster.
Listen, he was laser focused. He had a list of his campaign promises up in his first term like he does now.
And he
was
kept quite a few of them even then, despite everything. Nothing like now.
But most of them were executive order based.
Right, right.
So when he left office, you know, you saw what happened. Biden just came in and just ripped them all out.
Or somebody in Biden's name ripped them all out.
So it was a massive, massive, it cannot be overestimated how massive this was. The fact that he survived through it and got through it, people kind of go, oh yeah, maybe they're underestimating what this put him through. This was huge. And to this day, as this stuff is being revealed, probably half the country is going, oh, this is just Republican propaganda. It's not true. They're just dismissing it because they've had it's drummed in their brains. And they also sort of wanted to believe it. It tickled their ears with what they wanted to hear. The Democrats, obviously, they want to hear bad things about Trump. And they don't want to hear anything that dispels those bad things. So when I look at the disaster that is Ukraine, and you know, I follow that closely. I think hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians have been killed in action. Not to mention well over 100,000 Russians. With Trump's sentiment and his perspective on things. By the way, he expressed anger at Biden for ignoring the NATO stuff. He said he was an idiot. For him to keep on pushing that he was going to bring Ukraine into NATO was an absolute idiocy, and he wouldn't have done that. But I'm just saying he understood some of the Russian perspective on things.
Yeah, because bringing him into NATO started obligating NATO. And that's
well, not even started. It was also Putin had said back in 2008, he said, if you bring either Georgia or Ukraine in NATO, that means war. We're not going to be surrounded by foreign power with guns listening, China. Here's an interesting scenario, which I think is super unlikely, but it's sort of, you could do a movie, a fantastic movie. The cartels in China already have, Mexican cartels in China already have strong connections. They get all their chemicals from China to make the fentanyl. So they already have strong relations. And you know how powerful they are in Mexico, right? They're very powerful. They overthrow the Mexican government with help from China. They set up a puppet government that's pro-China, anti-US. And China starts bringing in weapons and missiles around our border.
Okay, we'll hear more about that when we return. And I'm also going to ask Mike when we return if he thinks in Florida we're going to start seeing alligators with mega hats on while they're working. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No. Actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello for one more segment to Mike Friedenberg.
So I'm not going to belabor the point, but I guess the only point I'm saying on this whole thing is that Trump at least would have made an effort to understand the Russian perspective, which nobody else was doing. Nobody's been doing that for a long time. They've just been blowing it off. After the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990-91, Russia went into a massive economic disaster. Poverty rates blew up. Russian ships were rusting in the harbor. The military was falling apart. And the guy that came along and got him out of that was Putin, by the way. He brought him up better. He did the banking reform. He did a lot of reforms, economic reforms that brought him up there. And one of the things that Putin does is he wants Russia to be considered a great power once again. Up through the communist revolutionary takeover, Russia was considered one of the world's great powers, certainly one of the great powers of Europe. And that's his goal there. Trump understands that kind of stuff. He has a sense of that. So I think that's a very good chance there may not have been an invasion in February of 2022 like that. And this disaster that is happening right now would not have happened. However, with that said, I'm a little bit concerned that President Trump is taking a war, which he called Biden's war, right?
And making it,
and
his,
make it his own.
Yeah.
I think what happens, he came into office with really good ideas on how to end it.
Well, he loves making deals, but then he gets frustrated when people won't make them. Well, and then he starts looking at doing something else.
But it's the other thing, too, is he starts listening to some of the establishment foreign policy types, and he goes away from what his gut reaction was, I think. For right now, the sticking point is Russia's not going to agree to an unconditional ceasefire. I mean, Ukraine is reeling. They can't get enough people to the front lines. They're running out of ammunition. So but the plan here is for there to be a 30-day ceasefire and to allow Ukraine to recover, to get people to the front lines, to build more trenches, to, in other words, put things in place so they can kill more Russians, you know. And they're saying, no, the ceasefire does nothing for them. They're winning handily right now. So they're saying, no, we're willing to negotiate, but when we start negotiating, we have to see that this really means peace. And one of the things they should do, by the way, is, you know, about 3 years ago, they passed a law in Ukraine, this Ukrainian state legislature passed a law outlawing any negotiations with Putin, and Zelensky signed it. So if they really are serious about getting down to negotiating peace, the first thing they should do to show that is overturn that law to say, hey, we really do want to get to some
it
kind of peace.
It was a law that outlawed ending negotiations? You mean they or having negotiations?
Zelensky, by Ukrainian law, is not permitted to negotiate with Putin on the war, to end the war.
Well, then who in the Ukraine can negotiate?
Nobody.
Well, Trump's aware of this, so why are we talking about negotiations when there's a law that they won't
negotiate? Well, because there's a silliness going around.
And Zelensky's come out publicly and said he's willing to negotiate.
He's saying that too, but he still has his law. Yeah, sure, everybody saying they're willing to negotiate.
Like, you know what I like about politicians? Nothing.
Well, here's the thing is, of course Ukraine wants a 30-day ceasefire. Why wouldn't they? I mean, let's say, you know, you're in the boxing ring and you're staggering around the ring because you took
a couple
big hits.
It's like all the ceasefires they put pressure on Israel to make.
And you tell the ref, I need a 30 count here so I can get back, you know, back to like, yeah, I got my feet. No, they're not going to do that. So that's the situation there. Now, I also think that Trump, he's making this his war. 2 weeks from now, this is a fact, 2 weeks from now, Ukraine's going to have less territory under its control. 2 weeks from now, there'll be thousands of more Ukrainians dead. 4 weeks from now, there'll be even more. There's no reversing this war. They're not going to be negotiating from a position of strength. They keep saying that. They can't do it.
Do you think Trump may just let Russia completely conquer Ukraine?
Of course,
if he does that, then it feeds the Russia collusion narrative again.
I don't really think that Russia wants to conquer Ukraine because Western Ukraine is a nightmare.
You think they just want a certain portion of it and they want to call that theirs.
And they may even do that and then create a buffer zone to say something, you know, this is a buffer zone because Western Ukraine is full of crazy anti-Russian people like the Azov Brigade, you know, the neo-Nazis and people that just virulently hate Russia. Those are the people that overthrew their government in 2014 in Kiev. The Azov Brigades and a lot of neo-Nazis, they were the shock troops. There was more people that were angry about the guy there because there's a side of Ukraine that wanted to integrate more closely with Europe. And then there's the side of Ukraine, Eastern Europe, that wanted to maintain their close ties with Russia. That side up through 2014 was about equal, like 50-50. One election, one side would win. The other election, the other side would win. It's very 50-50. In 2010, the side that's more about maintaining close relations with Russia won. However, they overthrew that government. The guy in government, Yushchenko, I think is his name, he had said, okay, fine, understand. There was violent riots breaking out. He was scared. He said, okay, I'll do elections. You want new elections? I'll accelerate the elections. It was in February of 2014 said this. We'll have elections before December. So basically, he had already agreed we're going to accelerate the elections, which would allow the people who didn't like him to remove him peacefully through the elections. They didn't wait for that because there was a good chance they would not have won the elections. However, in Kiev, Kiev's right in the heart of Western Ukraine. So all the people surrounding him were the anti-Russian people, not the people from Eastern Ukraine. So if Kiev had been in Eastern Ukraine, the overthrow would not have happened. I'm just saying that there. So it's just things like that to consider there. So I really hope that Trump just says, hey, enough's enough. We're not going to send weapons over. You've got to negotiate. You're not going to get a better deal here. And then maybe if Putin's smart, he might actually do something to also make it look like Trump's getting something. Like he might do something like say, okay, if you ease up on the sanctions, this, then we'll release this territory. Or, you know, he might do something. I think he was smart he would do that because he wants to let Trump look like he's doing well in the bargaining. I think Putin's willing to do that. I hope he is.
Well, and I do think the sanctions is the best card Trump has to play at this point.
However,
without getting us into another war.
However, the sanctions, the first set of sanctions failed. They destroyed Europe. Russia's GDP has exceeded that of both Europe and the United States over the last 3 years. And the secondary sanctions would just destroy Europe because they need energy.
Why were the sanctions destroying Europe and not hurting Russia?
Because they need the oil. When they sanctioned them into place,
then Europe can't.
And Germany's manufacturing sector collapsed. Yeah. Well, plus Europe had decided to adopt the green agenda. So you're in a place that has hardly any sunshine, trying to survive on solar panels and wind, and they got rid of some of their nuclear plants, they got rid of their coal-fired plants, and at the same time they decide, we're going to shut down getting oil from Russia. It was a very bad situation.
Okay, well, on that note, Mike, we're going to have to leave it, but thank you. Good insights on a wide variety of topics tonight. We will see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.